In all of the struggles that the family is facing, we must be intentional to help point our children like an arrow in the direction that God wants them to go. And just as you saw in the video, I'm going to need someone to teach me how to lose or how to win or how to celebrate or how to forgive. We have to teach our kids every one of these things and more. Finding the proper balance in raising godly children can be challenging on the best of days. There's so many books out there. Every Christian psychologist can have a different opinion on how to do every single thing, from teaching your kids how to eat their food, how to, you know, and have certain disciplines in their life. We're trying to completely house train a puppy. And if you have any expertise in that field, it's about to wear mom and dad down in that area. And we're doing so much better, but it's like we take about two steps forward and go back three steps in the potty training of our little puppy. And you know, there's all these different approaches. You read books and you listen to podcasts, and everyone has a different opinion or way about going toward the same direction. You know, before children, I always say BC, before children, I thought I had all of the answers. Anybody else ever sit out and you're on a date with your mate, or you're dating somebody and you're out on a date and you're having that great time, and there's somebody with some kids, they get seated in a table right beside you. In fact, I mean, I'll be honest, some days when we go out on a date and we don't want to have any kids, I want to sit as far away from the kids as possible in the restaurant, but we always get seated beside the family like ours that has four kids and they're all live liars. I mean, we never had the little babies that could sit in church until they were two, because our kids were making loud noises in church from the age of, like, you know, 3 weeks or whatever, and they act just like their mother, and I'm kidding, but we're going through life and we're trying to, you know, have that peace and the quiet, and you're experiencing all those things. But folks, before kids, I had all of the answers. Before having alone kids, I told Jackson that, I said, before I had kids, I was an expert at working with student ministry, because I knew exactly, Steve is laughing because he worked with me and served with me back in the day. And I mean, I thought I had all the answers, and then I had my own child, and I was like, wow, I had zero clue. In fact, all these years later, we'll be married here on June 9th, 18 years. It's inside of my wedding band. I can still check it there just to verify, but 18 years, and now I realize, with the soon-to-be 17-year-old, about 11 days later after our anniversary, and it was all legit and legal, and having four kids later, I have zero clue sometimes at what I'm doing, because I look around and feel like, man, I thought we've done everything up to this point. And then my daughter is getting ready to start senior pictures and talking colleges, and I'm thinking, have we done the right things? I mean, Zach, have I invested the right things that are going to truly matter in getting her ready to launch out from our household? And I'll be honest, it terrifies me. It scares me half to death, because I realize that all of the things that we've been training up for and preparing for is getting ready to happen. And some of you are sitting there going, just wait. I mean, and you're waiting for us to experience, you know, the kid off at college, and you know, and always needing extra money put in their checking account, and all of the things that are going to go along with paying bills and letting them spread their wings and starting to fly. Little did I understand that children don't just obey their parents because it's right. I mean, in the Old Testament, they had a little bit more encouragement, because they would stone you if you did not behave at some level. I mean, they could put you to death for disobeying your parents. And so there's a little bit added encouragement, and I'm not advocating for that. I'm just saying, in 2019, it's difficult. And even parents that bring their kids to church every single time the door is open struggle on the best of days. And I'm just telling you, I'm being honest and real. We struggle at our house from day to day. But folks, I am convinced that God's word is just as clear today as it ever has been. Except the same God that we serve today is the same one of the Old Testament, is the same one of the New Testament. God still has a plan, and folks, his plan will bring about success if we'll follow it. And folks, it didn't mean you won't have difficult times along the way, because folks, there are difficult days. Some of you are like, you have not been in my house, so let me tell you about some difficulty in raising kids. Folks, but God is still on his throne. And he's faithful. Can I get a witness this morning? He cares about the things that we struggle with. And folks, we can go to him in prayer and we can open the Word of God and find direction, find wisdom, find encouragement, find rebuke, reproof, exhortation, all of those things as we seek to live for God in our lives. This morning, we're going to look at the book of Proverbs. I believe it's one of the greatest books of the Bible because if you'll read it, every single day, there's one for every day of the month. In fact, there's 31 Proverbs. If you'll read it every day, say, Pastor, I'm reading something else with my life group. That's great. Let me encourage you to keep doing that. But read just the one that goes for the day. So today, on Proverbs 19, read Proverbs 19. Our family will read it later today together. And folks, what happens is, it'll challenge you. It'll encourage you. There's so much meat in there that will challenge you in the way of thinking. The scripture gives this type of behavior. When you're thinking about, folks, as we put the Word of God into practice in our lives, it will yield blessing in areas of our lives that we never knew God could bless. Let's look at the Word of God in Proverbs chapter 3. Solomon is writing, he says in Proverbs 3:1, he says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you." Now, anybody remember the Ten Commandments? Anybody remember Ephesians 6:1? All of these things are starting to ring a bell in your mind at this point. He says, "Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart." If you remember, we've looked at Deuteronomy chapter 6, and he says, write them on your forehead, write them on the palms of your hand. When you sit down, talk about these things. Teach them to your kids as you're going about the way, as you're laying down to sleep. Teach these things to your kids so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean onto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil, and it will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty. Your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, or be weary of his reproof, for the Lord reproves him who he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. Folks, as we look at the Word of God this morning, we see families are challenged today in the fundamentals. We struggle with just the basics. When I first became pastor, I did a sermon series called Back to the Basics. And we were going back just to the tenets of what we believe as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ. Because sometimes we can get so actively involved in life, doing life, that we forget the basics. That God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. We forget some of those things because we're looking out for number one. We're looking out for ourselves. We're trying to figure it out. Families are challenged in the fundamentals. So he says, my son, do not forget my teaching. He says, let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Every parent is looking for children that will listen, that will obey and their commandments. It's fundamental, folks. In fact, if you're going to have peace in your household, somebody has got to step up and be a parent. And it's not going to be a three-year-old. Say, well, she rules the whole house. Well, then, mom and dad, you are going to have some major troubles in this lifetime. I'm telling you, if a three-year-old is in charge of the playpen of the house, if they're in charge of making the rules, they tell us where we're going to go eat. No, that's not how life works. Say, well, we won't do it because so-and-so. You know what? We have four kids, and can I say every single one of them have their own personality. Some are more strong-willed than others. They all have their own ideas, but at the end of the day, God has placed me as the head of the household. He has placed my wife there to serve alongside of me. And folks, we work together. We pray together. We seek God. And then we're pointing them in the direction that he wants them to go. And folks, we're doing the absolute best that we can. Perfect? Absolutely not. Mess up or fail every single day. But folks, I can tell you, as you seek God, He will direct your steps. He says, don't forget my teachings, my son. Let your heart keep my commandments. So we're teaching this to our kids. The behavior needed is obedience from the heart. You see, sometimes we're like, if you'll just not act up when we're in public, I'll be happy. And we just want them just to be, hey, oh, you're laughing because it's hilarious. I mean, I tell you, every time we get in the car, there's a long talk before we go to certain places. And you're like, you are not going to act up in this restaurant. Anybody else go there? It's like, you are not going to act like your father. Blah, blah, blah. Get off your phone. Put that away. Stop fighting. And it's like the minivan approach, and you're driving through. Mom's trying to beat the kids in the back and keep the road, hand on the road. And she's, you know, talking to her friends on the cell phone on Bluetooth. And you're sitting here doing all, managing all these tasks. And folks, it's crazy on the best of days. The behavior needed is not a behavior modification. It's a change of heart. Obedience from the heart. Let your heart keep my commandments. In other words, God's saying there is a way to find true success in parenting. Fathers and mothers must seek to guide a child's heart or shepherd their heart, so to speak, if they expect them to follow their instructions. The kind of obedience that God wants in all of us comes out of a love because of who God is and what he's done. So I want to follow his commands. I want to obey him. I want to serve him with my life. And folks, it's something that should challenge every single one of us. The blessing rewarded is a long and peaceful life. Say, what do you mean by that? He says long life and a peaceful life are a promise attached to obeying the commands of God. Talk about success. Joshua says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you should meditate therein day and night, that you'll know how to have true success in this life. So folks, we can have success in this life, helping our children obtain and maintain a positive attitude by our example, by our leading, by our instruction, by the way we have the right attitude. Folks, not just a behavior modification, it's the foundation to child life change. Your child needs to know that when you're teaching them to obey mom and dad, ultimately it's teaching them something even far greater. I'm teaching them to obey God. So when you attach it to God has placed me as the person in your life that is the authority directly over you. I'm teaching them to obey teachers in the classroom, and all the teachers and principals in the building can say amen to that. But folks, I'm also teaching them to respect authority, that there's an officer who may pull them over one day for breaking the law, and they're going to have an opportunity to show respect to the position that God has placed that person in, man or woman. Then they go and they're in the military, they're going to have people over them that's going to tell them what to do. I love it when people say, I don't want anybody to tell me what to do, and they go join the Marines. I'm like, you're going to have a lifetime, or at least it's going to feel like a lifetime, of somebody in your face telling you exactly what to do. But ultimately, it's not about just about a behavior change. It's about a heart change. God, I want to learn to obey you that I might have a long and peaceful life. Families are also challenged in forgiveness. Look back at our text. He says in verse 3, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. These verses teach that mercy and truth must be balanced in this life. Mercy is the disposition to forgive. In other words, I don't deserve this, but folks, I don't deserve God's love. But folks, I don't deserve his mercy, but in spite of all of that, he has forgiven me, and folks, he has set me on solid ground, on the rock of Christ Jesus, and he's forgiven me of my sin, and he gives me what I don't deserve, because folks, I deserve death, hell, and the grave, but Jesus Christ took that from me. He took my place on the cross. These verses are teaching us about mercy and forgiveness by truth. They're basically three types of parenting. If we look at the styles of parenting, there's the permissive parent who allows anything. That's the cool parent. The one that, you know, wants their kids to like them. And they think, if I can just be super cool, can I just say there is a point in every one of your kids' life that they don't like you at all. All right, newsflash for some of you who have preschoolers, you're like, it gets a lot worse. But eventually it's going to get better. You think the three-year-olds are bad. Wait till they get to be teenagers. And they're talking back to you, and they're blah, 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 and they're slamming the door, and they're yelling and screaming, and you're thinking to yourself, if we ever make it through these years alive, I mean, it'll be a miracle of God. But folks, what happens is the permissive parent, you know, they don't want to confront a child's misbehavior. They don't want to call them out on their laziness or their ignorance. And there's... Folks, what happened is it's a misunderstanding of their God-given role as a parent. God has placed you in that life to direct them in the way that they should go. And so that permissive parent of just whatever, I'm just kind of take a free flow. You know, I like free-range chickens. I like free-range kids. Free-range kids end up in prison, folks, or dead. Can I get a witness? Free-range kids that have no direction. We had a neighbor in our neighborhood recently that sold their house, and they moved, and they had been out of their house for months, and except they're empty. And I thought to myself, why is their house not on the market? They don't even live here anymore. It's because they had two kids. One of them was like 4 or 5 months old, but the other one was about 4 or 5 years old. And they let the child swing from the chandelier and thought it was funny. They let them draw on the walls and called it artwork. And they let them destroy the entire house to where they spent thousands and thousands of dollars trying to take care of all the damage done to their house by a four-year-old. God help us. Where's a mom and dad to say, absolutely not. You are not going to be a hellion in my house, and I'm not going to sit back and watch that take place. And so what they didn't do is parent their kids. They need a mom and dad who has some guidelines, some boundaries to say, no, that's not appropriate. Because, folks, somebody who's not told that you can't hang from the chandelier of the dining room table and swing eventually is going to do that in a mall somewhere, and they're going to fall from a second-story balcony. They're going to not listen to authority when they say, don't jump over the side of that bridge, and they're going to get killed. They're going to have somebody who tells them what to do. The permissive parent allows anything. Then there's the authoritarian parent. They go to the other extreme. And there's so many rules, you feel like you're living under the Old Testament law. You can't even move without breaking some of mom and dad's rules. And I'm telling you, that parent is driving their kids to the point of driving them insane. And it's judgmental. There's no loving relationship. Children raised by this type of parent can't wait to leave the nest. All right, so if you go back to the permissive parent, that child never leaves the nest. All right, if you hear what I'm saying, because they're in control, they're ruling the roost. Now this one can't wait to get out from under mom and dad's authority. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. But it says, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Folks, as moms and dads, we can go too far in the discipline area to the point where we drive our kids to anger. We drive them, and we're causing them to sin against God. But mom and dad, we will stand before God and give an account for how we led our own household. It's a warning for us as dads not to provoke your kids. Never discipline your kids when you're mad. Maybe it's send them to their room for a little while, and you settle down and you calm down and don't come in all guns blaring and blazing. Folks, what happens is we need a mom and dad who are going to say, you know what, I'm going to love them and I'm going to lead them in the way that God would have them to go. So then there's the authoritative parent who balances love and discipline. The child knows their boundaries, but they also know that they've been given these boundaries because mom and dad love them. They care about them. Children raised by this type of parent will leave the nest at the right time with a proper and good attitude. That child is equipped to go throughout life to be successful and to have everything going for them. The authoritative parent balances mercy and truth properly, as taught in these verses. They raise well-adjusted children who are able to get along with others in authority and function productively in society. And when they begin their own families, they are set up for success. The authoritative parent is a reflection of how God parents us as his children. He loves us, so he's going to discipline us. But there's a proper balance of love and discipline. And folks, I'm thankful today that God corrects me and he convicts me. Sometimes people come into church and say, "Pastor, man, you've stepped all over my toes this morning." And I want to say, no, that's the Holy Spirit of God and it's the Word of God. Because folks, if we're preaching the Word of God and teaching the Word of God, his Holy Spirit will convict us and show us areas of our life that need life change. We see families, thirdly, are challenged in regard to the future. Look at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. This is one that most Christians have grown up hearing them quoted. He says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. What's he saying? The behavior that we're teaching our kids is to learn to trust God. One of the hardest things you do in this life is to trust. To trust your kid when they're driving out that driveway for the first time with their driver's license. Whew. I'll be honest, I don't know what I'd do today without an app that we can track her phone and know where she's at. But I'm telling you, I know what it is I'm totally playing with it. No, I'm not. But anyway, and what would we do? It's learning to trust God every single step of the way. So as they're watching mom and dad modeling, we're going to pray about this matter, and we're just going to trust God and take him at his word, because he said he will not, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or seed begging for bread. I'm going to trust God that he has a purpose and a plan. We were talking about this in our Bible study this morning. Folks, so the behavior sought after is trust. When we think of the future for ourselves and our children, we could be plagued with worry. But folks, it would be a failure to trust in God. What we're doing is we're saying, I'm going to teach my kids and model for them how to trust God for today. And folks, tomorrow, the Word of God says it's going to take care of itself. Tomorrow, I'll trust them for tomorrow. The next day, I'll trust them for the next day. Because James says our life is what? A vapor. And it appears for just a brief moment in time. It's a fleeting moment in time, and it's disappearing. And folks, I've got to live in the moment. I've got to trust God while it's today. As we trust him, our children will then follow our lead. They will begin to follow. They become confident and well-adjusted because they are learning to trust God, learning to acknowledge God. So folks, don't shield your kids from every problem in your life. When there's a struggle, maybe it's a job, it's a health situation, a financial situation, don't shield your kids. You can't scare them every single day to the point that they are worried about every single, I don't even know if we're going to be able to eat today. No, but what happens is, as you have struggles and trials in your life, teach your kids. We're going to pray, we're going to get on our knees, and we're going to cry out to God, and we're going to beg him for healing. We're going to beg him to prove himself faithful in this matter. And what it does is it teaches our kids, I can trust God in the little things, I can trust God in the greatest of things, because he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. God has got us within the palm of his hand. Families are also challenged in how to have fun. Look at Proverbs 3, verse 7. He says, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh. What's that last statement say? Refreshment for your bones. What does that mean? What is he saying? He says, as we're learning to trust God, he says, entertainment, amusement are great ways for families to have a good time together, laugh together. The resources provided by culture around us. Folks, if you look around and you see what the world says is successful or the world says we should be doing, folks, it's the furthest thing from a right relationship with God. But folks, what if you turn off all of the media and all of the electronics and you just play Family Feud around the dining room table? What if you turn off the TV and all of the other things and just go to a park and nobody can bring a cell phone, and we're just going to have a picnic and play wiffle ball in the park. What if we just go out to a baseball game or to a Hurricanes game? Well, man, what an incredible season. What if we just do something like that and then spend time, quality time, as a family, investing in the relationships that God has placed us in? Folks, the resource was provided. If you look around, there are so many things you can do that don't cost a single thing. And so it doesn't have anything to do with our financial status. The behavior sought after is respect and restraint. What he's saying here is in verse 7, he says, fear the Lord. Be not wise in your heart. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. I'm teaching them there are certain boundaries, certain things that we should not be doing. But folks, there are many things that we can do, he says, that ultimately becomes refreshment for our bones. Laughter is the best medicine. Watch a funny movie and laugh. We have certain family movies that our kids quote one-liners from all the time, and our whole family will just die laughing. Some of you are laughing, thinking about your own families. And we'll die laughing, and Malachi is the wittiest kid I've ever met, and he'll pipe up at just the right time and do that little one-line zinger, and the whole family is dying laughing. And because what happens is it's just quality family time. You have a 15-year-old boat. It's nothing to write home about. It's nothing fancy. We get out on the lake, and I'm looking around going, man, they dropped like a whole house into that boat right there. But folks, it's old, and sometimes it doesn't start, but we have the best of times just pulling a tube around the lake and having a good time with the kids. And it didn't cost us a ton of money, but it's something that we get to do as a family. And the moment that you put that boat into gear, Brian, and move away from the dock, we are on vacation for the next 3 or 4 hours. And folks, the phones are all put away, and everyone is just having a great time living and doing life together. And folks, what happens is he says it's refreshment for your bones. We need those kind of things. If it's going to the beach just for the day, say I can't afford a hotel, just drive down for the day and explore the ocean, go to a lake and have a picnic or play volleyball. And folks, enjoy that time with your kids. Families are also challenged in our finances. In verse 9, he says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. The behavior sought is, he says, honor the Lord with our material possessions. The thing that God has blessed us with. Honor the Lord. In fact, it says first fruits means that God comes first in how we earn, invest, and spend our money. He is the owner of all of the things that we have, and he has entrusted it in our care. We are to be stewards of everything God has given us. So your health, your ability to serve and use the gifts that God has given you, do it wisely. Do it for the glory of God. Don't get up here and do it for self-glory or self-fame. But folks, serve where God has placed you. The income that you've got, the job that you have, said, Pastor, you don't understand. I've got a PhD. I've got all of these degrees. Well, that's great. And I'm thankful that you had every opportunity to go to school and get a degree like that and get a job like that. But folks, who gave you the intellect to be able to make it through and get that degree? God. So when you get that paycheck, he says, honor the Lord first. The very first thing we do when we get paid is we tithe and we give 10% back. Why? Because, folks, God has blessed us. And I don't want to ever take that for granted. Because, folks, above everything else, I want to give him what's God's, what's his, what's rightfully his. And so he says, conventional wisdom says if we can't give to God until we've paid all the bills, we've taken care of all of the financial issues. But God's wisdom says his work comes first. So as we honor God first in our finances, do you realize the other 90% or the rest of it will go twice as far if you will just say, I'm going to be honest and true before God, and I'm going to honor him first. So the first fruits are before anything else is done, you give to God what's rightfully his. Pastor, it's kind of quiet. I'm not preaching a whole sermon on finances, and I didn't even bring this up because it's part of the text. But he's saying is, as we honor God first in our finances, seek ye first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33 says, and all these things will be added unto you. So as we put God first in the area of finances and our abilities and serving and giving and going, as we do all those things, folks, what happens is he makes up the difference. He says, the first fruits of your produce, then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. One of the trips that we took to India on a Sunday morning, I've never seen anything quite like it. You've been over there, Steve, but one of the first things I remember seeing, we came out of the service, Jamie was there, and they were having an auction. And it was a farming community, and some people had brought some chickens, and that was the first fruits of their increase. Some had brought papaya, and some had brought pineapple and coconut, and they had a little auction out there, Brandon, at the end of the service. And all of that money went to the church and to the work of the ministry of the church. And people gave of what they had and the first fruits of what they had. And it was like, this is exactly what this passage and so many others in Scripture is talking about. They gave the first fruits of everything they had. And so what happens is the blessing is, he says, your barns will be filled with plenty. Your presses that burst out with new wine. The truth is that he who gives to God first will have far more left over. And I'll be honest, the reason that I'm faithfully tithing today and giving to the work of the Lord today is because it was modeled for me in my household. From the very first job cutting grass at like 10, 11 years old, I can tell you, I made like $20. $2 goes in the offering plate on Sunday morning. As a kid, I mean, you're thinking, what? $2 is going in the offering plate? I can tell you this, because I was able to give $2 back when I made $20, today, it's no big deal whatsoever to give 10% in my salary today. And folks, what happens is if we'll do it, he will honor us. And what it does is then it teaches our kids how to honor God in their lives and put him first. I'm going to move on because some of you are going, if this don't stop soon, I'm taking a break. I'm leaving to the bathroom and never coming back. Anyway, number six, families are challenged with failure. Look back at verse 11. He says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof, for the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father, the son in whom he delights. What you say, families are challenged sometimes with failure. A positive attitude about correction and discipline is vital because, folks, what happens is if we think God is out to get us in every area of our lives, we'll live our life in fear of God. Now, we're supposed to have a proper respect and fear of God, but we're not supposed to sit there and be fearful every day that God is going to strike us dead like in the days of the Old Testament. It's not like that. Start teaching your children when they are very young. When they fail, you redirect their attitude by loving discipline so that they'll be better equipped not to fail in the future. What happens is, as we're trying to train our dog in this whole potty training thing, as he wouldn't go to the bathroom, we'd go out and he wants to play. So we go back and we put him right back in his kennel. A little while later, he starts fussing. He wants, all right, we're going back out to the bathroom, and we try it again. And we walk him around, and he thinks it's playtime. And so we come back in and we put him back in his kennel. And he has to realize, but what's happening over this week, because we've been frustrated for several weeks now. And now it's like, you're not good. Once you go to the restroom, when you come back in, you can eat and you can play and you can do all those things. And what happens is, it's teaching him a proper attitude and discipline, and it's help changing his behavior. It's a reflection of how our loving Heavenly Father relates to us. Proper discipline is necessary in order to keep us living in the right relationship with our earthly and Heavenly Father. Because you see, as I'm teaching my kids, when they disobey me, ultimately, you've disobeyed God. So there's got to be a connection made so your kid can see, hey, when I'm doing this, God is not happy. When I'm doing this, it's displeasing to God. And folks, it's affecting my relationship with God the Father. I said, Pastor, what's the application? I'm glad you asked. Solomon wants us to understand the wisdom in parenting our children God's way. He gives us instruction as parents that will help lead our children to follow Christ with their lives. In other words, God's word, if we will read it, has the wisdom and the knowledge to be able to instruct us in the way that we should go, the way that we should lead our kids. It requires us to approach parenting God's way, incorporating mercy and truth, teaching them God's word from a young age, allowing them to see that obedience to mom and dad, it was God's idea. And when we follow his commands, it brings about a promise of long life and peace. You know, the other Sunday we studied on Mother's Day, we talked about the grandmother began to teach the word of God to her daughter. And then later on, so Timothy's mother's name, Lois taught it to Lois, and then Lois taught it to Timothy. And this week, one of the ladies in our church, her mother died, and she was like in her early 90s. And I messaged her, and I was letting her know I've been praying for her. The family's out of town. And she said, can I just say the message last Sunday really registered with me? Because she said, my grandmother was the one that led my mother to the Lord. And my mother is the one that led me to the Lord. And she said, and I passed it on to my son, whose name is Timothy. I thought, how cool is that? But she said, it just registered, she said, because I was realizing it does pay off. Mom and dad, don't give up. Don't give up hope. And even a child who's gone the wrong direction, folks, God has them in the palm of his hand. It says that even the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. And folks, I have seen so many stories through the years of people's lives who've been restored, who've gone away, and folks have gone off and done their own thing. And folks, Jesus is still on his throne today. And he's still changing and transforming life. We follow his commands, it brings about that promise of long life and peace. But let me encourage you this evening, this morning, daily model what it means to trust in the Lord and allow them to see God directing your path. It gives them a plan to live by, and folks, it gives them hope for the future. Because you see, family is worth fighting for. Don't give up before they grow up. Folks, if we dare to disciple and train our kids, folks, if we dare to lead them and invest and influence them, what happens is we will find God's plan works every single time. Heavenly Father, Lord, this morning I pray that you would give us encouragement, give us hope. Lord, for the parent who's struggling with their kids, maybe it's a teenager, maybe it's a child who's already left the home, God, I pray that this morning you would encourage them, knowing that nobody is a lost cause when it comes to a God who overcame death, hell, and the grave. God, encourage them this morning. Lord, may they leave this morning challenged to continue praying and seeking the heart of God, and Lord, never to give up. God, for the parent this morning who has a preschooler or a young person, Lord, I pray that they would incorporate the right skills and use your word as an example and a guide for how to lead their kids to love you and have a relationship with you. And God, they would have a proper balance of love and discipline, Lord, that would ultimately help shape their heart of their child to follow you. God, this morning we're thankful for the word of God and how it challenges us. And God, if we'll allow it this morning, you'll change us. God, may life change take place. God, if there's some that have never placed their faith and trust in you this morning for salvation, God, may you transform them and then leave today having a confident assurance of their relationship with you. We'll be careful to praise you. In Jesus' name we pray.